Tonight, Sunday night edition of the Big Brother 22 recap is sponsored by our friends over at rockauto.com. You know, the chain stores, they've got different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. What's up with that? rockauto.com, their prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. rockauto.com offers only the lowest prices rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear, like the airlines do. rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or account login. rockauto.com, they are a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet, whether it's for your classic or your daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com's catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Rob's podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who says it's never boring on taco night in the Big Brother house. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Sunday night recap. A little bit later because of the NFL football action. And I guess much like today's NFL action, we even had an injury tonight in Big Brother when Nicole Franzel slipped getting out of the tub. So busy, bloody Sunday on CBS. All right, but we're a little bit later, but we're excited to talk about a very emotional episode. To me, this was like a slow motion car wreck, the entire episode, going through everything from the Hinky vote plan that unfolded here. I guess this was like a reverse Hinky vote. We'll talk about it all here tonight with a great panel, of course. Man who never slips getting out of the bathtub. Probably doesn't take a lot of baths. We'll find out. Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Will we find out? I don't know if that was...
I mean, are you a bath guy?
No. Yeah. I mean, I could be. I mean, but I don't know why anyone would find out.
Well, you would tell us.
I mean, would I though?
I don't know. You won't divulge.
Look,
if you're a shower person or a bath person?
When I wash, mm-hmm. I do it the way we agreed on.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what I do.
Mhm. Okay, but you won't say what it is.
Rob, we talked about, mm-hmm. we shook on it, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah, we both said no baths.
This is very upsetting to me, Rob.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll try to work it out. Okay. Happy to have you back here tonight, Taryn. Okay. Of course, I was just telling him about what a great performance he had in this realistic depiction in the Renap Royal Rumble 2. It's a man who's been working overtime this weekend, Puya Zamvakili. Puya, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. It's been a fun weekend for me. You know, Big Brother appearance, Royal Rumble appearance. So I can't complain. I'm having a good time. And you know, the one hiccup though was I got a title on the Friday morning update that I'm not too hot about.
Yes, the Nipple King. So,
that's me now, apparently.
It's something I got to do yourself with this one.
I mean, it's I can't get out of my mind, Taryn. Everywhere, my mentions, my chat on my stream, it's everywhere. I just can't escape it. Okay. It's over.
All right. Well, I'm sure we will bring it up tomorrow on the slop and give you your due. Yeah.
Full circle.
Okay. All right. So, of course, also happy to have back with us again. It's the great Chantel Francis. Chantel, how are you?
I'm doing okay, but I'm happy that I learned something new tonight in the Big Brother house, that apparently the truth doesn't set you free. And
no.
So at least I got some new knowledge here today.
Will not set you free in the Big Brother house. That is what Nicole will tell us as we break down everything from this big caper which got pulled. And I'm really interested to know about how the casual viewers will react to this if they look at this as, wow, what a great game move this was. Or, boy, we really do not care for Danny and Nicole after all this. So I think that that's an interesting storyline to keep an eye on. We'll take your questions. Of course, later on in the show, I tweeted out a link earlier tonight. You can reply, and Scott St. Pierre will pull your questions into the show as we get ready to talk about the Sunday night Big Brother episode. Taryn, did you like how they structured all this? It was a lot of, you know, like a story half told in the past of stuff leading up to the vote, and then a lot of the fallout that wasn't shown on the live feeds.
I thought it was pretty good. I tend to like these sort of like flashbacks during the HOH competition. It plays with the narrative in a way that Big Brother doesn't usually experiment with, that I kind of enjoy. The idea of a current power struggle being influenced by events that happened in the past, not to mention the fact that when they do this, it's usually a purely strategic edit that is like laying out like this happened, then this happened, then this happened, which is like a way better like it's a focus on the strategy of what happened without any sort of distraction, which I really enjoy. So I thought it was actually a pretty well told story.
Chantel, who do you think came off as more of a villain tonight? Do you feel like it was Nicole or Danny?
I definitely think it was Danny that came off as a villain. She just kind of had the sly smile all the time, and she's like, she was taking credit for everything. And so just from how they painted it, it seems like Danny is the one that kind of influenced, we'll say, Nicole to make that decision, and that she's kind of the kingpin here.
Even just the way she was sitting there,
yeah,
during the HOH competition, like the way she was dressed, the way her hair was styled, she was sitting there like an evil villain in a movie. It was crazy.
Yeah, Puya, at the risk of being hypocritical, that I feel like that with Nicole, when we're talking about Nicole, I feel like that we've said about her that, well, if she just owned it, I think that we would embrace her more as a villain. But this was a kind of clearly a case of Danny like really owning the villainy of what they were doing, where Nicole wasn't. And I do feel like that Danny maybe came off worse.
Yeah, definitely. I would say so. You know, Danny pulls up to the HOH competition looking like a strip of bacon with that dress.
yeah.
The villain is a strip of bacon at that. But I do think that she's
maybe
someone
veggie bacon.
Perhaps she's not someone who will shy away from these positions. You know, think of the family lineage where she comes from. You know, she's the heir to the evil dick throne. So I think she's been comfortable with any perception people may have for her. So she kind of like doesn't mind. Whereas with Nicole, very clearly we can tell that she so badly wants to be the darling that she's willing to go to depths to lie about it and then go ahead and say, I'm not comfortable lying and sell that to us. So this is just kind of the way it is, the dynamic with the two of them. I don't think Danny's afraid of it, but also I think Danny likes to take credit when credit might not even be due sometimes.
Yeah,
he likes to take all the credit.
Chantel, I think that Nicole actually got off easy in a way where she looks bad in the like being a reason that Davon and David are fighting and lying to Davon. But it's almost, I think, that forgotten in the story about how she kept promising her friend Ian that she was going to keep him.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, she's doing really well with playing up to the audience as to like, oh, I feel so bad about doing this. But I don't think she's actually taking into account the people that she's done it to. And, you know, because I watch the feeds and because I kind of know what she's actually doing, I don't buy it. But I think that she's playing to the audience more so than her fellow house guests.
I'll tell you what I think is happening here is that they're asking Nicole in the diary room to narrate this whole play. And she's saying, oh, but I just feel so bad about it. I just hate doing this. And they ask Danny to narrate it. And they're like, can you give us something? And she's like, so this was a master plan of mine. And she gives them what they want to hear. And so so this whole thing comes off as Danny's plan that she did last minute in order to put a target on David, that she's masterminding. Nicole came up with this plan days ago prior to the edit. And it was entirely her plan. And it was entirely just to make herself look okay through in both the episode and in the game in the, with Devon and Kevin. Danny had almost nothing to do with it other than bouncing ideas off of Danny when Nicole was asking for advice. But they really made it seem like Danny was doing this to put a target on David's back, which I'm sure will like play into, you know, future storylines.
So we get a flashback and we go to Ian talking with David about, hey, will you vote for me? David says he will. He tells Devon, he tells Kevin, okay, great. We want Danny to break the tie ultimately. And we're going to see Nicole's skeptical. She can't trust David, but she ultimately is going to say she's on board. 4-4 tie. Kevin tells Danny about what David says. Chantel, I know you see you're shaking your head. I didn't understand. What's Kevin doing? And then I have a second question.
Well, I was just frustrating watching that. I was like, you can't tell Danny what's going on because she's gonna flip it and make it for her benefit. And so I just, as soon as that happened, I was like, okay, well, there was no chance that was happening anyways, but you knew from the audience perspective that like that plan was not going to go through, especially if David is going to get any credit for being some sort of mastermind by putting Danny in this awful position. Like, she wasn't going to let that happen. So I was irritated.
I've seen a lot of people like blaming Kevin for this, but that was the whole plan. Like, Danny was in on it from the start. He wasn't outing anything. Devon did the same thing. She also talked to Danny about it. The whole point was that Danny was going to break the tie in their favor. They didn't want to make it a tie if Danny was just going to vote out Ian anyway.
Right.
So they were making sure that Danny was in on the plan. And they had been talking for a couple of days prior. Like, we want to be in on the plan, but David's not with us. David's not with us. And so when David finally flipped, he was like, David flipped and this is the reason, but I think maybe we have him.
Yeah. So here's my question, Taryn. Why was she annoyed? Because if the whole plan was, hey, we need to get it to 4-4 so you can break the tie and vote out Tyler, her reaction was, that snake. He thinks he can blame me. How dare he? Well, shouldn't she be jumping up and down if her plan was, I want to vote out Tyler? That's the thing I want to do most in this game.
Well, it's right. She was annoyed. In reality, she didn't want to vote out Tyler.
No, I know that.
To pretend, yes. To pretend.
From Kevin's point of view, shouldn't she be happy with this news? Hey, great. It's 4-4. We can do this.
Well, what she was actually mad about and what she portrayed herself to be mad about was the idea that, oh, well, the reason David is flipping is to screw me, because he wants to spite me. Like, that's so annoying. And you have to also remember the context is that Day and Kevin have been trash talking David to Danny like all day. Mm-hmm. So her saying that's so annoying is like, yeah, right. I know he's so annoying when, as far as Kevin is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I feel like that should have been a little bit of a red flag for those guys that, you know, maybe Danny does not seem as excited about voting out Tyler.
But the problem is that Day and Kevin were even less excited about it. They were the ones that were like, Danny, I'm worried that David is lying to us. We're looking out for you. He's so annoying. Mm-hmm. It really was like, it's a hard scene, I think, to understand the context of.
Yeah. Okay. Danny is going to take a lot of pleasure in getting David framed for this, that she wants to get back to planting seeds. We're going to ultimately see Memphis win the HOH competition. I thought this was really weird. I noticed that Memphis has a lot of names in the house. We talked about Grandpa, but he wins the HOH competition, and Devon has a nickname for him, which I did not know.
Good job, governor.
Chantel, is there a governor Memphis?
This is the first time I was hearing of it, but I guess so.
It's like the Walking Dead governor.
Well, he does. Hey, you gotta pay the bill, David,
right?
Yeah, so maybe Day is a Walking Dead fan. Later on, we're gonna see when David goes to go talk to Memphis. He will greet him with a different name.
What's up, doctor?
What's up?
Dr. Memphis Puya.
It just almost feels like no one wants to say his name. So they've just found so many different things to call him. I for one, have not heard of any of these other titles. So when they come up here, it's like, really, does David have enough character and personality to be having all these nicknames? Like, I mean, I feel like when you get a nickname, you must be beloved, or, you know, you just something catchy to call you. I feel like Governor, unless you're British, isn't really rolling off the tongue for me.
You just give me titles.
Yeah. I mean, I like a what's up doc, like a Bugs Bunny type of situation, but full on doctor? Like, I don't know if he belongs with that.
Councilman, how are you? Yes. Maybe he'll answer to all those things. Okay. So we're going to see David and Kevin talking. And David is frustrated. He's been duped, Chantel.
Yeah, no, and like I feel bad for David actually in this situation. He hasn't been playing well, we know that. But he really was with these three, with these other two, and it really sucks that he's taken the fall for this. Even though I get where Davon's coming from, I get why they don't trust him, but I do feel bad that he was like, I'm telling you guys the truth. I wanted this to go this particular way. You're not believing me. I felt for him actually in this moment.
Taryn, I had faith this week. I'm like, this plan's not going to work. David's going to say, listen to me, pound the table. It was not me. I did not do this. Can't you see?
What did I tell you, Rob? David is a worse truth teller than he is a liar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he is not able to successfully tell the truth here. And a lot of this goes back even beyond the power stuff where he lied about using the power. A lot of it goes back to that moment when David told Davon about the fact that Cody and Tyler talked to him about Davon campaigning for him to go. And then Davon, when she questioned Cody, Cody told Davon that David told her that that Davon was worried about a guy's alliance, and Cody knew about this because Davon told half the house about it, but she thought it could only have come from David. And so she thought David ratted her out and lied to her about it. And she believed Cody and Tyler over David. And so that compounds to then the week that Davon and Bailey are on the block, and he says he's going to campaign for Bailey and watch, they're going to try and divide us over it. And then here again, she's going to believe Nicole over David. Having felt like there's so much evidence in the past that leads me to believe I can't trust him.
Yeah. We're going to see this confrontation, Chantel, with David is finally going to talk to Davon. And Davon is very upset with David.
I know. And like, I understand why she's upset, but like, I wish that she was listening more with her heart, you know, and listening more with like what she talks in the diary room about, like what they're here for, what they stand for. And just the fact that he's coming to her and saying like, no, I didn't do this. And she wasn't willing to believe that was really frustrating. And it was actually, that hurt me as well, because I'm just like, man, I really want you guys to work together and trust each other. But she just wasn't having it. And she's going to be really upset that she didn't listen to him.
Yeah, she is saying that he flipped. He's saying that he didn't. People told me not to trust you. And she did. She did it anyway, against her better judgment. In the middle of all this, she walks out of the room at one point, Puya, and she goes to Nicole and says, Nicole, tell me. And Nicole's like, I swear. Yeah. It seemed like that maybe that David like kind of like convinced her for a second, but then she went right back to Nicole and Nicole shut the door.
Yeah, I mean, and like, here's the thing, right? Like a pinky swear, I swear on this, I swear on that. That sometimes can be enough to just make someone drop it and believe in what you have to sell, especially when your counterpart is not giving it to you straight. Again, we saw a bit of it here. It's been going on throughout the season. I've definitely touched on it before. When one side is like, listen, I promise, look at me dead in the eyes. I didn't do it. I did not change my vote. And then the other person's like, what if I told you that maybe I kept my words? Would you see with your own eyes that I'm the real true prize? Like, that means nothing. That's like, you're not giving me, when someone else is giving me conviction and swearing, and then you're giving me kind of like, it almost seems like half truths, or like you're trying to like toe the line of giving me specific verbiage. I'm not going to buy it.
Why is the Riddler?
Really, really is the Riddler. And you know, it all goes back to, you know, for the first time in a minute, The whole credit thing came up against him. Kevin talked about how he has no credit.
-3,000.
There you go.
Not good. Taryn, how come David didn't pull out the OV swear here, the most solemn of oaths that somebody could take?
That would only work with Tyler, and he doesn't trust Tyler at all anymore. So there's no Ovi credit there with Davon, unfortunately. So he can't pull that one out. He could have tried, swearing on Bailey, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe that would have worked.
Maybe. Nicole tells us in the diary room that she's uncomfortable with this. And so, Chantel, I'm going to play a clip for you, and you tell me true or false. This is Nicole Franzel in the diary room.
I hate lying.
Nicole hates lying. True or false?
I think that she may hate lying, but it doesn't stop her from doing it.
Okay.
that is exactly Nicole in a nutshell. And it's why so many people say that they want her to own what she does. That's why I don't think she can ever own what she does, because it's genuinely something that, like, I think she lies on instinct. I think she has, like, this sort of paranoid, anxious personality, especially in the game, where she lies to cover up lies. She gets people out to cover up lies. She just always is trying to avoid confrontation and make sure that people like her as much as possible at all times. And she hates doing it. It makes her anxious. It makes her feel terrible. But it's like second nature to her. It's what she reaches to.
Yeah. I heard you describe her in that way in terms of having to constantly clean up her messes that she ends up making. And she's kind of like a Walter White type anti-hero in that way. Things just are like progressively bigger problems keep coming up.
I did it for the family. That's it.
Mitty.
Yeah. Okay. So
I am the one who knocks.
Say my name. No. Okay. We're gonna see David talking with Kevin. Kevin Puya says that there's a 5% chance. Yeah, I guess it is possible that Nicole and Danny could be lying to us to try to frame David so we don't trust him. 5% chance.
5%. Just 5%. I mean, listen, Kevin's frustrating, okay? Definitely frustrating. This is one of those. Again, this kind of goes back to the discussion we have been having. But then the fact that the writing isn't on the wall, the fact that this isn't evident of, like, clearly the three of us know we're on the outs. The three of us know that without the powers that happen, without the power of veto, without the disruptor, one of us would have probably been toast at this point. Why would we be doing this? Again, the whole gardening that went on throughout the week of convincing that David is someone that is being taken up for, you know, some other plans in the future. It's kind of seeing that writing on the wall, the whole who lied about the power, which was the biggest thing. One of the biggest things with Kevin. It makes it hard for him to buy it, but it's hard for me to talk about it too, because it's frustrating, because I can clearly see it. I feel like he should clearly see it. But also, again, David has not helped himself in these situations by any means.
No.
I just feel like all season long we've run into this problem, and I feel like it's partly our fault that we need to stop, like, over rewarding the, like, oh, this person's great at reading the situation. Like, this person has great reads. Like, oh, they clocked it. Oh, they're so good at the game. If only they could have blank. They have such great reads. I feel like every person in this house has played the game before and knows how much praise people get for getting the right read. And they're all trying so hard to be like, I've called it. This is the thing. And I feel like instead we need to embrace uncertainty. We need to embrace ambiguity that, like, you know what? I'm not sure which one is true, because it could be either one. And I need to adjust my game accordingly, because these people keep saying, I'm not sure. I'm going to choose this one 100%. And double they're like, down. Always wrong every time.
But don't we also get on the people that are doing the detective work also, a lot like the Tom Greens?
That's what I'm saying. That's they're doing the detective work.
Just let and it then go. Let the mystery
they feel
be.
Like because they've done the detective work, that they have to now choose an answer. And if they get it right, then boom, they're amazing. They have great reads. Mm-hmm. They're not considering that, like, sometimes you just can't.
We'll never know.
Look. When two people are lying to you, it's very difficult to know for sure which one is telling the truth without, like, a lot of other outside confirmation and evidence. you don't need to, you don't need to make 100% guess. You can just operate going, it could be either one. And if it's this one, I have to do this. And if it's this one, I have to do this. So this is my plan moving forward, given that it could be either one.
I think the biggest problem with this season is that everybody's afraid of being duped by David. And so I think that their fear of David having one up on them is causing to them to have these bad reads because they just don't want to be caught. I think that's the biggest problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, like no one's trying. Yeah, it's like you're in the seventh grade and you're about to play chess with like someone in the first grade. It's like, listen, I'll beat him badly, but if the 1% chance that I get beat, I'm never going to hear the end of it. I'm going to, I don't need that going on my resume. Again, on an all-star season, nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're in a math class and the teacher's really mean and you're sure that they're trying to ask trick questions to people. And they're like, what's 2 + 2? And you're like, I'm not going to fall for this. And instead of going like, I think it's 4, you're just like, no, I know what you're going for here. It's 6. I know it. 95%. It's 6. They're like, what are you? It's 4. This is not a trick question. Like, oh no, I just didn't want to be played for a fool. I didn't want the klaxon to go off in the QI.
All right, let's talk about Taco. I guess this was Taco Thursday in the Big Brother house, and we're making a big feast of tacos. But yeah, how did the spread look? Was there any spaghetti salad?
Whew, spaghetti salad was either completely eaten or in the fridge for a rainy day. That was good. The spread itself, it looked like an average, average taco. And I didn't look like anything was jumping off the table there. It was okay. It seemed okay. It's fine.
Okay. All right. So Taco Thursday is happening, but here comes Memphis to burst in and break up the party.
Everyone to the living room.
Ow!
You better stuff your faces now.
Puya, I heard you describe him as comes into rooms like the Kool-Aid man.
Yes, this is it. This is what he does. He likes to just burst in with all this energy and like, just
you
like, you know,
my blue ball.
Whoa.
He does that. He's got a blue ball.
No further questions.
All right. So time to pick the have-nots. And Taryn, we had debated about what will happen if a have-not gets voted out. It does seem as though the strategic move is vote out a have-not.
It is my favorite side story of the entire season is that you can eliminate have-nots by voting have-nots out of the game. I love this.
Yeah, nobody seems to pick up on that.
No, they know about it.
Oh, they do. Maybe that's the strategy here of who to put up on the block for have-nots. All right. Davon went first. Okay. Davon has to pick a have-not. And Chantel, Davon is going to select Christmas. It does not go well.
I know. I was really actually surprised that Christmas took it so badly. I mean, there's a lot of other people to choose from, but like, why not Christmas? Like, just because she overheard a conversation that she was maybe going to put choose Kevin. I don't know. I didn't really understand why she was coming so hot.
Chantel, I heard you. I heard it. I heard it all the way up here. I heard you talking about how you were going to make Puya have not.
Taryn, we can't hear you. We're all the way down here. Okay, you can hear us.
Let me come back. Okay. So I heard you guys. I was up there. I heard you talking. You can't change your mind when I overhear a conversation like that. Mm-hmm. It's not fair.
I was definitely shocked that she had this response. And well, does Davon and Kevin know that she overheard this conversation? I don't know.
What a creeper. I mean, she's just like, is she just stand up there and watches them?
I mean, the sheer fact that not only was this not a thing directly said to you, but also you literally put her up on the block.
That was in the past.
And that's the thing is that, oh, bygones be bygones. And like, you should be able to forgive me for literally taking someone that you were very tight with, but you separated me from grocery store tortillas and ground beef and shredded lettuce. No. We're going to have problems. Yeah. This is where I'm going to put my feet down. This is where I'm going to get angry.
Here's Christmas in the diary room.
I am furious. So now I'm suddenly a have not because I put you on the block?
Yeah. What's up with that?
Who would have thought?
This is like, this is going to be tit for tat now. And then we also saw Cody. Then David selected him to be a half-not. He's like, I guess I don't get to eat now.
Rob,
yeah, that's what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've known the Calafiore boys like their meat. We knew this.
Yeah.
This is not new knowledge. So it's a thing.
So would they have to stop eating like right then and there? Like, so he will not get to participate. I feel like
Christmas
tacos?
Got in another bite after she became a half-not.
It did look like it, but yeah. I mean, Cody comes through as the sous chef. He was being so nice, letting everyone else eat first. So he didn't get any bites.
Mm-hmm.
Bread for this. This is a damn good steak. This thing is cooked to perfection, and I'm all about it because these biceps ain't gonna feed themselves. So your boy needs his meat.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, like the idea of cooking a meal and then not being able to eat it is like
infuriating. I'm sure
one of the worst experiences in life. Things have been going so well for Cody. He needs some of this.
No, but it really struck me as like how ridiculous this all is, where we have basically the committee plus Enzo. Like, these seven people, they are allowed to do any dirty trick they want to these other three people and the others that have been voted out who are not in the alliance. Whatever they do, hey, that's game. And anything that those other three people do to the group of seven, that they are all like, how could you do this to me? What is wrong with you? You monster. You made me a have-not? You used the veto? You voted to... You tried to make me break a tie and keep your friend in the game? How callous...
I will say Cody like immediately apologized after. He was just like, I'm sorry, I just had a reaction right away. Mm-hmm. Christmas, though, to this day is still complaining about this to anyone who will listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wouldn't expect anything less.
And it is a frustrating season because these underdogs can't get their act together. The only thing that we have to look forward to is when the rug ultimately is going to get pulled out from some of these people, and eventually they're going to get a comeuppance. That's about it.
That's really all we can ask for and wait to see at this point. Because honestly, it is, because like, here's the thing, right? So I will agree. Cody, you know, came through that night. That was the night before I covered the morning. Came through. I was hangry. They kind of squashed the beef. It was fine. Not the taco beef, because you couldn't touch that anymore. But I thought, you know, imagine the roller coaster David's going through and then this happens. Like, enough. Like, let them have, they have one thing they can do to you. Let them do it. Like, it's not going to change your game path in any way.
Mm-hmm. Which also brings us to Memphis with, you know, that this group is, you know, throw out like all of the niceties that we see Memphis in this episode. Chantel, he's going to like sit down with David, make this handshake agreement. Okay, well, let's make this deal. And then tells us, yeah, I'm just trying to get backdoor this guy. He never had a chance.
I mean, he's definitely had it out for David from day one. He's not treated him like an equal at all, like saying that he has a seat at the table now. Like, I think that he enjoys the fact that he is superior to David in this situation. And he's just loving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Taryn, it's just another underhanded move from this group that has all the numbers. They don't even need to do all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there was a purpose to the vote thing. There's definitely no purpose to this Memphis backdoor. I talked about this the other day that I guarantee you, Memphis comes from the school of Dan Gheesling, and I'm sure Dan told him, like, hey, this is a TV show, make good TV, betray people, like, you know, play it up. It's fun. Have fun with it. The problem is that that's like somebody fun telling that to the school bully who's just like, oh yeah, I'll have fun with it. This will be great. and he's like, oh wait, oh hold on, wait, no, stop. This has gone too far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, before we get to nominations, we're also going to have a segment of the women in the bath. We're going to have Christmas, Nicole Franzel, and Danny in the bath. And they're talking about maybe, should we have a women's alliance, Chantel? Here's this conversation.
I would love to see a female win All-Stars.
Me
too. Love it. Love it.
Me too.
Should we get out takes somewhere?
Yeah. As soon as the should we have a female alliance? Should we see have a woman win the season? Nicole's like, I think, should we get out?
I actually was thinking that these are the three women that do not want to have a women's alliance and do not want anybody other than
Nicole
themselves.
Couldn't get out of there fast enough. That's why she
she's like, I can't agree to this. I'm just going to stab you in the back in a second.
Yeah. I'm sure that that was not those two sentences did not happen back to back in that conversation. But I just think that that was a funny encapsulation of how this is going to go.
Oh, it's just perfect. The actual situation happening there is that they're pitching. This was actually last week. They had planned on, you know, winding Christmas up, getting her in the tub, and then trying to convince her to evict Tyler. And this was not on the feeds, but the day after they were like, so that didn't work.
No, it did not. Okay. We're going to get to our nominations here. Memphis is going to ultimately reveal. It's Davon and it's Kevin. Puya, that's what we have here once again.
Yeah, and it was sad to see, right? It was sad to see, obviously, the last hope for some kind of friction between the majority alliance was the three people that are in contention to be on the block. Two of them are now on the block. Two that are probably most well tied together. Obviously, when this initially happened, I had not certainly heard about the potential David stuff that was going on. This was a treat that was given to us later. Mm-hmm. But now this is being thrown in. And I mean, it's like, you know, Rob, this is the thing, right? The whole like being annoyed with the Memphis stuff, with the Cody stuff, with the Christmas stuff. It's like when the dream team, the American basketball team goes to play an exhibition match with like Latvia. And now they're just dunking on him. It's like 100-35. At some point, it's like, yo, the first like 50 dunks were awesome. This is starting to get a little brutal. Like maybe mercy rule them. Maybe let them be. Like we know you're going to put them on the block. You don't need to like, you know, do the most with it. Just don't. It's enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taryn, just looking a little bit ahead for where this is going, where, you know, somebody is going to take the fall probably from, you know, when the bigger group starts to crumble a bit, and that person is most likely going to be Danny, that I feel like that the show, they want to protect their, you know, whoever's going to win, they don't want to make them completely look like a horrible person that everybody hates. And sometimes they can't help it. Like, it is what it is. But I think that they would usually try to put the person that they think is going to win in the best possible light. And I think that the producers are starting to sort of say, all right, well, out of this group, Nicole and Danny, I think that we can start to, you know, put some of the blood on them.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's also, you know, good timing to do that considering what they just did. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I think that, you know, we're definitely, I think they're probably going to protect Enzo at all costs. They're probably going to, try to the Tyler stuff was not great, but, you know, I think they're still kind of like,
they're not going
to
bury him.
You don't need to remember all the Tyler stuff, do you? Mm-hmm. And then I don't think there's been too much there to like bury Cody, but I don't think they'd be jumping, you know, to do it if there was.
Yeah. Okay. That's basically the Sunday night show. We're gonna have the veto ultimately get played on back on Wednesday night this week before we get to this week's eviction. Chantel, I noticed also another surprising return. Tyler's glasses were back this week.
I did notice them. I was like, oh, he's wearing the glasses again today. I don't know. I have nothing to really say other than that about them. I noticed them.
Yes. Wait, any significance of the puzzle being a fire hydrant? I didn't really get what they were going for.
I'm not sure, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's in the backyard, it's a fire hydrant. Maybe there was like a fire truck theme that they forgot to finish off. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. The fact is this HOH kind of played like a veto comp you would see in like a double eviction a little bit. So it was interesting that this was a situation where, we had this HOH, but it was interesting, right? 19 pieces for a puzzle. I would have never expected Memphis to be the one to pull it out, but weirder things have happened in this house before.
Yeah. Taryn, I did like that Memphis, he put the puzzle together and then he buzzed in and they're like, eh, like go clean that up, Memphis. Like, yeah. The puzzle is technically in the right spot, but you could tighten that up.
I thought that was when he won, and I was like just cringing inside, just like, no, it's not right. No, yes. Somebody needs to just put it together. And then I was very satisfied when it was like, no, it's like, ah, oh, good.
Put it all together, Memphis. Yeah.
I still didn't love his neatness even the second time. Mm-hmm. I felt like it's still, he was still kind of like rushing it. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Could have been better.
He could have given us after he put the puzzle together also.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Classic Memphis. Just want to step aside for a quick break before we get into questions from tonight's episode of Big Brother to thank one of our sponsors, our friends over at Ritual Multivitamin. Ritual, they are the health brand created by skeptics for skeptics. Ritual has reimagined the multivitamin with a formula that starts with transparencies. I've taken a lot of multivitamins before in the past. It's like a gigantic pill that's like a solid block. The Ritual multivitamin, you can see what's inside of it. And I think that just as somebody who has taken vitamins in the past, they're disgusting most of the time. There's Ritual multivitamin. It's so pleasant when you take it. You get like a little bit of like a minty feel. I've never had any multivitamin ever before that's actually been concerned with having like a pleasant taste when you take it, and you can see exactly what's inside of it. And right now, it's so important that we're all taking care of our health, and that's why I'm so glad to be taking a multivitamin like Ritual. They are obsessively researched from D3 to omega-3, magnesium to vitamin A. Ritual's essential multivitamins are formulated with key ingredients and nutrients that you need, which can be difficult to get enough from our food. Ritual has built the first visible supply chain of its kind. Ritual essentials are vegan-friendly, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, major allergen-free, and their sources are open for the world to see. Ritual always delivers. Their subscription-based supplement is easy to start and easy to snooze. It's around $1 a day and delivered right to your door. Not only do I take the Ritual multivitamin, that my wife, the first lady of podcasting, takes Ritual for women too, and she is loving them as well. Help fill nutrient gaps in your diet to help support foundational health. Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off their first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/RHAP to start your Ritual today. That's 10% off your first 3 months at ritual.com/RHAP. All right, now let's get back to talking about your questions from Sunday night's Big Brother. Okay, let's take some questions about everything that we saw here tonight. Natalie, why is Christmas confused about choosing her as a have not? Christmas said it was over. Yes.
Yeah.
This is why.
She's always watching. Yeah. She's like Elf on a Shelf up there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, another thing too is that the week before, Devon was on the block, lost her friend, and a have not. Like, can you have a little compassion here that she pretty much had the worst week that she's had so far in the Big Brother house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Forget Elf on a Shelf, Rob. It's now Christmas on a Terrace. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, and Taryn, I will say that it will be a good thing then for Devon that Christmas can't make her a have not if she's not there on Friday.
Yeah, that's true. And there's only gonna be one left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or no, sorry, that's, she already passed it on, so there's not gonna be one left. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Right? But you can't give a have not punishment to somebody who's not there.
Yeah, who's she going to give it to? Somebody's going to be like, you said you were going to give it to Devon. Mm-hmm. Why would you give it to me? Why are you being so mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Robbie Freeman. Is there something about tacos that makes them a common fight, worthy meal on Big Brother? Puya, have you ever fought around tacos?
I can't say I've ever like engaged in fisticuffs around tacos. No. Although if I have to think about why is it that it's that particular food, you know, it is a contained meal. It's in a shell. It's got a bit of crunch to it. Maybe it's good sound effects for a fight. But also, I like to think that, you know,
it's spicy.
Is it spicy? It depends on the person. Depends.
You don't
on
have
the
spicy tacos?
I do. I don't know if Cody does. I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know.
Are they really even tacos if they're not spicy?
That's a great question. I would say no.
Hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know. Ultimately, it's a family style dinner, right? Maybe you bring everyone comes together and it's a make it yourself. It's not like, oh, just grab a plate. You got to like really stand there and put stuff together. So you've done all this hard work and then you sit down and someone's going to spoil that moment. Ooh, you don't spoil taco time, apparently.
Maybe it just gets people worked up because everybody's around. Everybody sort of like comes out of the woodwork for tacos. Like normally people might eat in shifts, but like, oh, tacos, you know, and everybody, it's an event.
Yeah. More of an occasion. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely everybody coming together and they're all the animosity is kind of just lingering there. And so they're just kind of, I think they can just explode because they're all coming together for a communal meal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Matthew. I don't think that Enzo got more than a minute of screen time tonight. I almost forgot he was in the house a few different times throughout the episode. Why aren't they giving us more meow meow?
That's what I'm trying to say, yo.
Yeah. Maybe they're protecting him.
He really did have a quiet week. He's been having some troubles in the bathroom, and he's been, you know, not feeling well. He's been missing home. He really was not really even doing much this week or last week anyway. So,
Taryn, I speculated recently with Enzo that he's running out of material. You buying that? Yeah.
Completely. He's running out of material. He's running out of steam. He's running out of energy in this game. He's just like, he just hasn't been it, yo. It just hasn't been there. Yeah, that's it.
He came into this season, Chantel. He shot out of a cannon. Stories for days. The most entertaining guy on the feeds. I'm worried about him.
I think it's because he hasn't had to do that much. And so I think he's bored, to be honest. Like, if you're winning the whole time, you know, there's just nothing going on. And I don't think he particularly loves all the people that he's working with that much. So to have all these stories and these great times, I think he's just over the people in his alliance.
Okay. For 4 weeks, all he's been able to talk about is like, we got to get Dani out, yo. She's got to go, yo. I hate her, yo. That's it. And I feel like now it's like when it's brought up, he's like, yeah, she's got to go, yo. That's
it's on fumes.
Like, he's just like, he doesn't have it in him to keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take a question. This is from Diane. Why was Kevin doing his puzzle with half the pieces? I don't know.
We've probably that was asked weird Kevin. To me.
Yeah.
That they were doing the puzzle without getting all the pieces first, because what if the piece you needed wasn't there yet?
There.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It was weird to me.
Yeah.
It is kind of the perfect metaphor for Kevin's in-game actions too, playing with half the board there, really. Like,
yeah. So. Well, what was worse, Kevin doing with half the pieces or Nicole copying off of Kevin? Okay. Let's take a question from BBK. What is the thinking strategy for having two alliances with the same name? We could talk about that in a little bit. We can discuss that. Jessica Lynn, the house has to be worse than Faute at this point. At least Fessy asked to flip. Dave's just blindly believing. Does Nicole actually have missed? Should we be giving any credit to Nicole for having missed?
I would not say missed. No, I think missed sort of implies like a social game that like lures people in with like the friendliness, and like you're able to just kind of like with a smile, like mm-hmm. convince them of something. Whereas Nicole is more like, no, I swear it wasn't me. I swear. Oh my gosh, they believe in me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I just Chantal, I wonder if with Nicole, I just think that people like have low expectations of her and don't believe she's capable of these types of things.
Well, I think in this particular situation that Davon really doesn't believe that Nicole would dupe her again. And I think that she's kind of going on the fact that they have mended their fences. They are supposed to be working together in an alliance. And so why would she be lying to her face like that? So I think the mist is the fact that she's not expecting that from Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the preseason, I talked a lot about these relationships where, you know, someone had betrayed the other and they're going to come into this season, like being wary of that person, because what if it happens again? And then you're expecting like, what if the other person thinks it's going to happen again? So they do it first, and how it's really hard to build on that foundation. We saw that with Tyler and Bailey. And the reason why it's so difficult is exactly what we're seeing here with Davon and Nicole, because Davon going, oh, right, you know what, I'm not going to fall into that trap, has now fallen into the other trap of being fooled by Nicole again.
Okay, let's take another question. This one is from Roger Underwood. Do you think that Memphis doesn't share his nominations or plans because of some pregame strategy that he and Dan Gysling came up with? That seems like some rampant speculation.
You think that look, again, Memphis got a call like right before they went into sequester. If you think that he had time for Dan to plan out, okay, so on week 7, when you really want to get out your target, make sure you don't tell any, like,
don't tell your nominations to the house.
Yeah.
Okay. And if David from last season is there, like, promise him you'll keep him safe, and then try to backdoor him. All right. And Faze In said, in the who flipped Fath Tate strategy underused by majority alliance against the other side, seems like it gave extra insurance and now has correctly worked the 2 out of 2 times in the last 3 seasons. Taryn, have you put a name on this?
I don't think there is a name here yet. No. I do agree, though, like for as much as like we've talked about, like, is this even necessary? Like, look, this is Big Brother, and the nature of this game is that things can flip on a dime. And next week, Kevin or somebody, David, could win an HOH, and the entire thing could blow up. it's for as much as like, because it hasn't happened, we expect that it won't. But every season, it at least, like, JC wins that final four HOH and prevents Tyler from winning the game. Like things do happen. And this is kind of a game where you do need to continue to press your advantage as often as possible. And if you can get the alliance, the people outside of your power structure to not trust each other, then that is better for you. And it seems like it is something that people are capable of doing. It's one of those things where, like, I think most people wouldn't even think of doing it, because, like, why would they ever not trust each other? We're obviously in power, they're not. But what we've seen is the devastating nature of power in this game, and it applies to real life too, is that you can do these things and get people to not trust each other on the outside. And it feels grimy because it happens in the real life, in real life too.
Wow. Okay. All right. Anything else from the episode tonight before we talk about the spoilers?
I can't think of anything that we haven't covered or needed to talk about.
Okay. All right. Let's get into the weekend in the live feed spoilers. Talk about this weekend's veto competition and speculation about what's coming on Thursday as a legend is moving next door to the Big Brother house. If you're going to leave us now, we will be back on Wednesday night to talk about the veto episode of Big Brother Wednesday night at 9:15 p.m. Eastern. But for everybody else, let's talk about spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
Nicole has a fake vote.
Believe David. He's not lying.
Yeah. Wall yeller nowhere to be found this week. Okay. All right.
Rob, Davon would just be like, I can't believe they're trying to trick me into believing. I can't believe these wall yellers, Nicole. Why would they just hate Nicole that much that they're trying to make David's story believable? Man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So, Taryn, it was Memphis's plan to backdoor David, but there was a little bit of a hiccup in the plan.
Yeah, see, Memphis made the classic mistake that a lot of people this season have made when they were HOH or whatever, that he thought that he was HOH.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not Cody. That's the mistake. Cody doesn't want David to go. Cody wants Davon to go. And so it's not going to happen for Memphis. David is not going to go home. Tyler is going to win the veto. Tyler and Cody discuss. They don't want David to go. They would prefer Davon leave. And so they have talked to Memphis about the fact that Tyler is not going to be using the veto. And they have convinced Memphis that Davon is the one that needs to go. He is now fully on board, and Davon is the one that will be leaving on Thursday as of right now.
What's that vote looking like?
I imagine it will be 6-1.
6-1?
Yes.
That's worse than I thought.
As of right now, it's 5-2. Danny and David will vote to keep Davon, in my opinion. But when Danny finds out that the rest of the committee is not voting that way, she is going to flip her vote that way as well. And I do believe that David will give, he said today he would give her his vote. Again, as a way of like, I promise you, I did not flip my vote.
Mm-hmm.
But she'll probably still think it was like Danny, you know?
Wow. Oh my God. Chantel, is there any hope for Davon this week?
Hope. Oh my gosh. I've lost all hope in this season. Can I find some?
I have Kevin in the draft. I mean, that's the only, the only hope that I have. Like, at least he's still there.
Actually, I didn't draft. My draft is actually doing pretty well, to be fair.
Yeah.
With Davon, maybe if she convinced Tyler and Cody that she's could be valuable to their game, but she's been lying about, she's trying to take credit for the votes, and she's making a big mess of things right now that she should be trying to save herself instead of creating this lie and dissension and, you know, trying to get David backdoored or whatever she's trying to do. I think that she needs to focus on getting the votes as opposed to causing whatever havoc she's doing right now.
Yeah, part of the humor of the situation where they gave all this credit to Danny in the edit where mm-hmm. she's putting the blame on David in order to put a target on David. The irony of that is that because this worked successfully, that has provided a lot of extra incentive for Tyler and Cody to keep David because he's not trusted by Davon or Kevin. And they feel like, oh, that means we can pull him in. And they see that Danny is very close to Davon, and that's why they want Davon to go, because she's too close to Danny and Danny's trying to do all this stuff. So Danny, in a way, has actually orchestrated Davon's demise and David's safety.
Puya, for Davon Nation, should we be looking at a fourth time on Big Brother? Maybe is going to be
the charm. I mean, yeah. Certainly the third time there were improvements to the last time in placement, in comp wins. So maybe
is there progress.
We're just moving forward with Davon. Every time we've seen her on our screens, it's been better and better. So for more reasons than one. So I think that a next time would be good. A different circumstance, different cast certainly would not be a bad situation.
Couldn't hurt.
Yeah. Only be better.
Okay. All right. Taryn, let's talk about the Zingbot.
Yeah.
Zingbot was here this weekend.
Zingbot was there, which may mean that it's not Zingbot on Thursday, although I think it's like awfully coincidental that Zingbot showed up the week that we suspected that Zingbot might show up.
I haven't gotten to talk about this yet, but okay. I am all in on the BB legend is not the Zingbot.
Okay. Do you have
put all my
theory?
Chips in? Yeah, because to me, it really doesn't make any sense. And again, this is Big Brother, so I'll couch this slightly, of that a BB legend is moving in next door. Okay, if it was next week's Zingbot, okay, I think I could buy that a little bit more. But to have the Zingbot on the Wednesday episode and then on Thursday make a big announcement that the Zingbot is going to move in at the end of the episode and be back on the Saturday episode, or sorry, the Sunday episode. I don't know what year I'm in. That to me, it just is so bizarre that they would structure it that way. And I feel like that Julie did interviews with Dalton Ross where she talked about a person.
Yeah. Is there a theory? Is there a working theory that you have, Rob?
I think that they saw how popular Janelle and Kacer were and how much people love that. And I think that they're going to go with a big name here. And I wonder if maybe they do something. Maybe could it be Dr. Will? Could they? I mean, he's local. They would probably be looking for, you know, something to throw the fans that are looking for. Well, we loved all the old school stuff. We loved everything with Janelle and Kacer coming back.
Do they trust Janelle not to like yell something about Nicole?
Well, I don't think it will be Janelle. I wonder if they could do a challenge that's hosted by Dr. Will or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's Dr. Will. He hosts the challenge. How does that, what about the shake up the game part? Is that just, you know,
did they say that the new person was going to shake up the game?
I'm pretty sure.
Let me see.
He also said something about them being kind of liked by some of the fans and hated by some of the fans. So that could be Dr. Will, but I'm thinking because of the season and how it's going, it's going to be Paul.
Paul.
I think it's going to be Paul moving in next door.
I don't know if they know that people hate Paul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's what they said again about the neighbor. Okay.
And next Thursday, the live vote and eviction will send another all-star to the jury house. Plus, a Big Brother legend moves into the neighbor's house to shake things up.
Not necessarily the game.
Yeah. Was the neighbor doing the earthquake?
Well, maybe that's possible.
Was that the thing?
Okay. I also think if it's not Dr. Will, maybe Mr. Pectacular.
That I feel like I'm more comfortable with potentially.
Legend?
That's the thing. I feel like Paul, I would think, is, you know, in the comrade, but I think when they say legend, they mean old school. So it's got to be someone from the older series. And if it's not a Dr. Will, I could see it being a Mr. Pectacular.
But Julie did say something about old school fans and new school fans would be aware of this person. So
he's kind of in the middle. He's been on some Pandora's boxes.
Yeah, he's on every season.
Said, like, new viewers would know who this is. Like how new are you talking, Julie? Because
true.
That's why I think Paul.
I don't know. Paul seems very anti Big Brother franchise on his. I follow him on Twitter. He does seem like very negative about the show.
This was like 3 seasons ago at this point. Like, that's not super new to me.
Yeah. All I want to say, the one I'm about to name is not 3 years. It's older.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with most of these combinations we put out there. If it's James Hewling, I'm out. Sign me off.
I don't think it's James Hewling. Mad.
Ooh, no.
I don't think so. Can't. But I do think it'll be a person, and I wonder maybe if they'll host the veto competition.
It's gonna be James. He's gonna be up on the balcony, and he's gonna be hey guys. Mike Booger said that you can bounce checks in the Big Brother house.
James, is that you?
Bring those wall comps. Hold on. Give me one sec. Ready? Whoa! I just scared you.
Oh my God, James, you scared me. Okay. Maybe this could be a campaign stop for James. Yeah, I think that Rachel Riley's not outside of the realm of possibility. I think it'll be a person. I don't think that they will just like stretch the Zingbot. If they were, they teased the Zingbot when the Zingbot is coming up. It seems weird to do a comp, have the Zingbot tease that the Zingbot is not leaving. Like the Zingbot has not ever done 2 things in a season. And they don't have that many zings. They can write 2 zings for people. Come on.
What? How do you feel? How do you feel about yelling guy?
Yeah,
he's not a legend.
Oh, well, what about the guy that does all the acting things? Like the
that's
alien
who we're talking about. Yeah.
That's the guy.
I feel like we can't get caught up on the term legend because these are the same people that said the fan favorite twist, the Battle of the Block, is coming back. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, you know.
Yeah.
These are exactly the people that would call Yelling Guy a legend.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Yeah. If it's an alumni and it's a balcony and they kind of got to yell over a balcony, make your way, everyone. Round of applause for Chef Joe. Coming through that balcony on Thursday.
Okay. Here, let me just give you the answer from Julie Chen Moonvest that Dalton Ross asked her about on Friday. Looking ahead, what can you tell us about the Big Brother luminary moving in next door? And can I move in on the other side? She said, I can tell you nothing. Well, okay, twist my arm. This person is a legend. There is no way anyone who's even a new fan of Big Brother doesn't know who this person is. Fans have strong feelings about this legend. I'd be happy to see you move in on the other side, Dalton, as long as if we ever do a celebrity version, you agree to be a house guest. Okay, so Julie Chen not throwing out the possibility of a Big Brother celebrity returning at some point also with Dalton Ross. So she says person twice.
I mean, Yelling Guy's a person.
And Taryn, you are a robot, and also we refer to you as a person, so...
Yeah, and it's very offensive, but I deal with it.
So, I don't know. Chantel, you think that it's a house guest?
I mean, originally I thought it was going to be Zingbot, and then when Zingbot came into the house, I was like, okay, new thoughts. I think it's going to be a person now, and I think it's going to be someone that we don't think is a legend, and I think that it's going to be a Paul, or I would love it to be like Howie. That would be fun, but I don't think any new fans really know who that is, but that could be fun.
Okay. So a person that fans have strong feelings about, this legend. Oh, Taryn, do we still have the CBS tier of the Hall of Fame?
No, then it would have to be Dr. Will. Thinking about it, like, they have Julie to host the HOH competition, so I don't think they've ever done a host for an HOH on a live show, right? Like, that's not Julie.
That's interesting.
But I think
Gallagher.
Yes.
They did have Gallagher. I don't know if he hosted, though.
That's true.
I think that they will move in and they will host the veto competition.
Okay, so but they're going to be there like all, like, is Dr. Will going to be there like just all week out, starting Thursday?
They could do a segment with them where, like, they've done that in the past where it's like, oh, and Derek is here. Derek, what do you think about going on with the game? So potentially they could do a segment with them and then set up that they're going to be hosting the veto competition on Saturday. Or so I don't know why I keep saying Saturday. It happens on Saturday.
Maybe Dr. Will shows up with some bags, pretending he's moving in, but then he's not really. He's just going to show up on Wednesday.
Okay.
What if it actually is Julie Chen? You know, maybe she's doing her quarantining in that, you know, neighbor's home, and maybe she's going to host it. She would be considered a BB legend. She hasn't said a former player, so I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So some intrigue heading into Thursday. Might be the only intrigue heading into Thursday, as if we get some more clues about that. Taryn, any other big news from the weekend?
Nothing major. Danny's game just continues to spiral here, as she is currently campaigning for Dave Vaughn while the rest of the committee is like, let's watch to see how long she campaigns for Dave Vaughn. Like, it's bad.
Yeah. What does it look like when Danny goes home? She goes up, she's going to be up on the block against Kevin or David, and then she doesn't, and then it's a blindside. Is that how it'll look?
So annoying. I don't understand. Like, what? I liked you guys. Like, why are you being so annoying? This is such a shocker.
But they'll just put her up on the block, and then they'll ultimately it'll be tell her she's the pawn, and then blindside her.
I think only a couple of them would put her up next week. I think they would go after like Kevin or something. I think she would probably get put up next to Nicole, by, you know, like an Enzo or a Tyler. I don't think Memphis would do it yet. Tyler might want to, might try to talk Christmas into doing it. She might do it. She might put, the two of them up, or maybe Danny in a pawn, and then they take out the pawn, they take out Danny or something like that. But that's probably what it would look like.
Okay. So Chantel, then if Danny is dead woman walking out of that seven, who's the next person in danger after Danny?
Well, out of the committee.
Plus Enzo.
I would say maybe Tyler.
Ooh.
Tyler is part of the triple threat, so he is kind of protected there. I actually don't know. Sorry, go ahead.
I'd say it depends on who wins. I think Tyler, Christmas, and Nicole are all in some amount of danger at that point. I think that, again, if we're going by the logic of what's worked so far, what does Cody want? It will probably be Christmas. And then we'll see where it goes from there. I think then Tyler and Nicole and Memphis would be in danger. Ultimately, Cody and Enzo are the two people who are going to be the safest from all of this.
Okay. All right. So some intrigue there, Puya.
I wouldn't be mad at that. Mm-hmm. I think we'd be eating healthy that week. That'd be a good one.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pack up Tuesday. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a few more questions here tonight. Mick Frapp says, will Danny use her power on Memphis this week, Taryn?
She talked about it last week. She hasn't mentioned it this week at all. So I don't know, but she might as well,
yeah,
to be honest.
How do you think that conversation will go where Danny lets Memphis know she'll use her power on him?
She doesn't even have to tell him. Just use it on him, and then he'll have to go around being like, did you use your power on me? And then people will be like, Memphis, come on, stop. Mm-hmm.
That would be so sweet if they made him have to be the David for a little bit.
That's funny.
Bother him so much.
Yeah. I could see Danny potentially like trying to like leverage it, like, hey, yeah, I've got something for you, like I've got a power. And I could see Memphis being like, yeah, I don't care. Do it or don't. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Whatever.
That's exactly what would happen. Yeah. And if it got used on him, he'd be like, all right, cool.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Your mama says, why didn't David confront Nasal in front of Kevin and Day? Nasal for sure would have cracked. Yeah, Puya, would the move have been house meeting?
I mean, I feel like we talk about how house meetings typically aren't impactful in the way you want them to be. But this is a situation where I feel like, Nicole would have had a harder time tripling, quadrupling down on what she's done in front of an audience. On a one-on-one basis, she's proven to be good. She, her emotions work and benefit her.
Yeah.
But I do think if she was, pressure was applied, I think she would have had a tough time of it. But I mean, it's David. So David, I don't think, even if he does all of this, Rob, even if he goes down the path of, I'm going to do this, I'm going to expose her, it's going to be a one big expose party, I still think he would somehow fumble it.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be great.
And Chantel, I think that it would get turned around into Nicole being like, oh my God, everybody, David totally confronted me in front of everybody.
Yes.
And
yeah,
he's accused me of lying. Yeah.
Yeah. She definitely would spin it to make herself look like the victim in that situation and not really address what he's asking. I think he should maybe speak to her one-on-one and just be like, hey, like, I know how I voted. How did you vote? And see if he could lie to, like,
yeah, oh, that's
to
a good one.
His face. You know, yeah, what I mean? Because she knows that he voted the way that he's saying. And so I just don't know if she could lie directly to David.
Well, I don't know what that does for him, though, because it doesn't help him convince Devon. And he already knows that she's lying to him, right?
What if he was wearing a wire?
That would, all right, Devon, just hide in the wardrobe for a second.
On the balcony.
Under the bed. Mm-hmm. Up on the balcony, yeah. I think that it doesn't help David at all to antagonize Nicole in any way. Right now she's focused her energy on Devon because she's worried Devon will catch her in the lie. She's worried about Devon's theoretical wrath. And she is already getting David's wrath, which is nothing. So she's not as concerned about David. So I think that benefits him. And then I also like watching this episode, I think I am seeing in David a strong reluctance to be aggressive, to be, you know, the guy that blows up. He really was upset with himself that he blew up in that way. And I think that's part of why he's been very ineffective trying to convince Dave Vaughn, is because he's trying to hold it in. And when he does blow up, he walks away to do it. He doesn't want to like direct that at Dave Vaughn. He's trying his best to like keep himself contained. And that's making him come off even sketchier, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, how do you think that David is doing with the casual audience? Is David becoming a fan favorite?
This is at that point of the season now where if there's any time that David's going to have a redemption arc with the casuals, mm-hmm. it's now. I do think that a lot of casuals coming in had the mentality of, this is All-Stars. Why is David here? He's not an All-Star. And I think the more they see him get dunked on, I think this is where it's like, you know what? Let him have some comeuppance. Let him have something.
Yeah. Chantel, David for America's favorite player. Wouldn't that be something to see the reaction from Memphis and Nicole and the like if David could be America's favorite player?
I mean, that would be really, really great and very satisfying for sure. But I think Dave Vaughn or Janelle are going to be taking this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I do think David as America's favorite player is the ultimate message to these All-Stars that
right?
you were not worthy of the title.
Oh my God. Nobody liked you.
AFP All-Star.
Yeah. And I don't know how much Joker's updates has its finger on the pulse, but I'm surprised David 12 in the house guest ranking of Joker's updates.
Still.
Hey, Taryn, any guess on who is the highest active player on Joker's updates?
Quickly thinking through, is it Tyler?
Yeah. Number three overall. Bottom
he's
three.
Got, he's got, he's
Christmas
got
14, Danny 15, Nicole F 16.
Ouch.
Yeah, but David and then Memphis 13, David 12. So you would think that David would be doing better. But okay. Devon only at 7 on Joker's updates. Again, I don't know how much they have their finger on the pulse of the tracking, but.
Well, for the record, the RHAP roundtable poll from that we do.
Yes.
Has Dave Vaughn.
What's the question of who are you voting for America's favorite house guest?
No, just favorite players currently in the game. And that would be Dave Vaughn is at the top, followed by Enzo, followed by Tyler.
Okay. All right.
Maybe although that was before Dave Vaughn started blaming David. So.
Okay. All right.
We'll see where that goes.
Okay. Then I think Ian Terry was the person that first got me referring to Joker's updates polls. Okay. So unfortunately, he's at 6. Still pretty good.
Fine.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Last couple of questions. Miriam, why did Kevin tell Danny that David was keeping Ian makes zero sense? And still a few days later, we hear you.
I described the situation.
Yeah, check out earlier in the podcast when we talked about that conversation. Then Shannon says, do I have this correct? All this because Nicole didn't want to look like a monster voting out Ian. Doesn't she still look like a monster? Now, she does not look like a monster for betraying Ian tonight. She only looks like a monster for what she's doing to David and Devon.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I just wish that she wanted to do well, like well by them, like just be nice to these people. They just want to play with you.
Yeah.
Poor Nicole.
And the reality of the situation is like, for nothing. Memphis won the HOH. Terrence, does much change if they didn't do this?
I mean, if I'm being honest, I do think that Devon would have gone after David if she won HOH. So.
Whoa.
There you go.
Okay. but with circumstances being like what they were, I mean, this didn't change anything that Memphis was going to do, right? Like everybody would still be in the same exact situation if they didn't go through with this.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take Ryan's question. How would you compare this move by Nicole and Danny to what Andy and company did in Big Brother 15? Andy was amazing and helped set up his win, while this one is impressive in that this ruse has gone on longer than the duration of the double eviction. Of course, in the double eviction, Andy got out, was it... was it McCray and was it Amanda and Alyssa or McCray and Alyssa?
It was Amanda and Melissa and he, Alyssa, and he convinced McCray in the short term that it was Alyssa that flipped on Amanda and not him. And so in the confusion, McCray was just like, okay.
Yeah.
So.
And Stop the Insanity in the chat says we found Andy's burner account.
Okay. I mean, it's an impressive move.
Impressive.
But yeah, it's definitely, that was really like one of the first times that had ever been done. And then we saw a lot of it in Big Brother 20, and now we're seeing a bit of it here as well. Okay. Again, for as much as like we can say like, oh, did it change much or like, was it necessary? Like, you know, any little thing that you can do to cause chaos and, you know, and keep the other side, you know, looking at each other instead of at you, is going to be beneficial to you in the long run.
Okay. Well, how about this? Should I tell in the goodbye vote for Davon? Could Nicole admit to being the vote?
I think she might, just because it seems like she's coming clean with in her goodbye messages. I'm only worried, though, that she might not do it for the fact that she may think that Davon would be mad at her after. So I think
David's coming to the jury house.
That's true. Yeah. They're going to find out for sure eventually. I think she's going to come clean, though, because I think that she doesn't want to have the truth come out without her kind of directing the narrative there.
Yeah, I think she will. And I think she has to, because other players in the game are already talking about ratting her out in their goodbye messages. So if she doesn't, she'll be in deep trouble. And I think she knows that, too. I think she understands that in the jury house, they'll all figure it out. So she'll admit to it in the goodbye messages on her own terms.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Anything else to add to all of this for tonight?
It's just, you know, it's upsetting to say the least to see how, because like this was a week that we kind of knew was coming anyways, but the way it's happened has been a lot more icky than it should have been. Basically, the side that's shorthanded got bamboozled beyond belief and is now even making the situation worse for themselves, which is awful. It's saddening, but at this point, we're going to lose someone that I think a lot of us have been excited to see, have been enjoying. I'm glad that at the very least there was a veto win in the resume there. So it's a mixed bag of feelings. It really is.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Hopefully something can change between now and Thursday, but it does look bleak once again, which is like it's a status quo for Big Brother 22. Let's talk about what else is going on Rob Has a Podcast. Look at this. Look who T-Bird found. It's her old tribe mate from the Samburu tribe. It's Lindsay Richter. Let's hear what she's been up to. She started a outdoor, I guess what they're all mountain biking is outdoor, mountain biking company for women. She's had a very difficult experience since Survivor. So we caught up with Lindsay Richter this weekend. Check that out on the latest Talking with T-Bird. And then look at this. The Great British Bake Off finally has its own wrap up. Check out Emily Fox, Haley Strong, and the Tabulator, Kurt Clark, talking about episode one of the Great British Bake Off. Check that out up on robswebsite.com. And then Puya, what's going on? You caught up with Mari to talk 90 Day Fiance?
Absolutely. Talked all about episode 14. There were two weddings that we talked about, which happened, some separations, some surgeries. It was an action-packed episode to break it down. And Mari was amazing as always.
Okay, check that out in our 90 Day Fiance wrap up feed. And then from 90 to 100, it was the 100th episode of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast this weekend. We heard from several roasters. We heard clips from 100 episodes. We had the Royal Rumble 2 and a mailbag as well, all on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. Renap 100. And Puya, check this out. The Masked Singer is back. And somehow, unlike Survivor, they were able to figure out a way to film a season for this fall. And I was watching a lot of football today. Saw a ton of promos for The Masked Singer.
It's happening, Rob. And they're really hyping it up. And honestly, we talked about this on the podcast with Liana. We did a draft. And I have reason to believe, given the quarantining, given all the the halt that the world felt for a couple of months, I'm going to go ahead and assume that we're going to have the biggest celebrities we've had yet.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. Check that out in our Masked Singer Rehab Up feed. I think a lot of people are not able to earn during this time. So I think that that's probably a decent size paycheck as well to go do Masked Singer. What's that new show that's going to be on after Masked Singer? It's called what? So You Think You Have a Voice?
It's called I Can See Your Voice. And the basic premise is, first of all, Ken Jeong is the host of that one. So the premise is, it's kind of like they bring out 8 people. They have them go through various challenges that don't require them to sing, but are supposed to be used by judges to determine whether or not they're a singer. And at the end, the judge makes a final pick of who is the singer in the bunch, and that person will sing in front of the crowd, and either they're an actual singer or they're someone who has zero vocal abilities, and it's going to be a flop.
Yeah, that's a bust.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely filler material. Let's have Ken Jeong make some jokes.
So you'll watch that?
I'm going to watch it. I saw the commercial today. I'm like, I think I'm going to watch it.
At least the first episode I'm checking out as well.
Okay. Check it out. All right. Then on the Love Island recap, I hear that it's Hannah Shapiro and Will Sondheim from the Pawnee Public Radio, a Parks and Rec rewatch, joined Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scally to talk about the end of week 4 of Love Island. Chantel, you're still enjoying the Love Island?
I'm obsessed with Love Island. It's actually really what's giving me life right now on CBS. Like, I get excited about watching
CBS reality show of the summer.
It is 100%. I think they have all their eggs in the Love Island basket. I wouldn't be surprised if they even tried to do another one in the fall, because like, it's been very popular. The season's been really, really good and fun to talk
good
about.
Good ratings.
And
fun to-
I think the ratings are super high. I feel like I heard that they were number one, but I could be wrong.
Whoa. That, okay. Maybe they'll do fall Love Island.
Yeah, I mean, since they're able to quarantine in Vegas, like, I think that they could probably figure out how to do that again.
Yeah. All right. Tomorrow morning, look who's back. Taryn Armstrong. He's going to have a live feed update, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. How about today, Taryn? Slow day or busy day?
Pretty slow day.
Okay. All right. Maybe, look, it's early. Only 8:30 Pacific. Who knows what could happen overnight. Taryn will be live to cover it all tomorrow and every morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. And then, we're going to be doing the slop tomorrow. You got sloppy news for us to talk about? Who has the smallest nipples? We'll talk about that and more. Hashtag slop. RHAP Mike Bloom will join me and Josh Williams too, as we talk about the sloppiest stories from the past week of Big Brother 22 tomorrow. And then Tuesday night, the LFC Roundtable is back and it's regularly scheduled spot. Join Taryn, Brent, and Melissa to talk about everything that's going on and rate the players and find out how your stock portfolio is doing this Tuesday night as we get another week into this Big Brother season. All right.
There you go.
There you go. Of course, all this podcasting, we make it happen with the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Head on over to robswebsite.com/patron to find out everything we're doing in our patron podcast feed, our patron community, and more. And as we're getting closer to the end of the month, I say it is a good idea to check out the annual plan to become a patron so you don't get charged for this month and then the start of a new month. You pay for 11 months, you get 12. robswebsite.com/patron. And of course, part of our Big Brother coverage this season, we are live with the patrons 1 hour before the episodes on Thursday. Join us for the pregame show on Thursday night, as we can continue to speculate who the Big Brother neighbor could be this Thursday night. And of course, you could follow us on social media at Rob is a Podcast on Twitter, at RHAP Grams on Instagram, and our Rob is a Podcast Facebook page. All right. The week is pretty much set. Hopefully, we'll get some intrigue going on the rest of the way. Puya, will it be 4 days in a row that you're talking about Big Brother?
No, I can confirm that it will not be.
Until you get the call.
Yeah, till the bat signal goes up, I'll make it happen. I'll always be there if I'm needed, of course. No, but it's been a pleasure, honestly, to get to talk about Big Brother this much this past weekend. I've had a good time, so I can't even complain. No, I'm very happy with everything, whether or not titles came with it or not.
Yes, it's always great. Yeah. Well, thank you again, Your Highness.
of course, good sir.
All right. Chantel, where can people keep up with what you're doing?
Definitely at Shan Fran Fran on Instagram is a link in the bio, and everything that I could possibly be doing is there. So you can find me there.
Yeah, Chantel, you have your own podcast, right?
Yeah, a YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is Reality Realness with 3 S's.
Yes.
We definitely do a daily chat about Love Island.
You do. So you go on, are you live every day to talk about Love Island?
Yeah, every day, usually around 2 p.m. Eastern time, we go live to have all the banter about Love Island US.
Is it just you?
I have a friend of mine in Brazil. I actually met her playing these online reality games. And so we both loved Love Island. So we started talking about Love Island every day.
Okay. All right. Well, Chantel, always great to catch up with you. And then, of course, Taryn. Of course, where can we find you?
Find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaryn and on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong.
Okay. All right. Any update on bath versus shower controversy?
Get an answer.
Baths are better.
Okay. I can't tell you.
Hmm.
It's got to remain a secret.
I was surprised that you like spicy tacos.
Yeah.
I don't like a spicy taco.
What, you don't like a spicy taco?
I don't like spicy anything.
People who don't like spicy tacos?
Too hot.
I love spice.
Too hot. Just a little bit of spice then.
Mm.
Yeah.
A little spicy.
I made a whole meal.
You need a kick in there somewhere.
Yeah.
It was a couple weeks ago. I made a whole meal. I added half a teaspoon of cayenne pepper. It was too spicy for Liana. Ate the whole meal myself. The whole week. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. Definitely. Liana's on your team with that, Rob.
So you just found a secret power, Puya, is that anytime you're feeling extra hungry.
Exactly. Throw a little bit of cayenne in there and I have more food for
Plain.
Me.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, thank you all so much for checking us out tonight. In the words of Memphis. I screwed that up. Okay. Let's try it again.
That's a wrap.
Okay. Got the megaphone too.